When Swami was talking about that special dispensation descending, he said the phrase was, if enough people call strongly enough, then the divine responds. And Swamiji spoke about Master's coming as that call coming particularly from America. It's just, I mean, it's obvious because Master came to America. But when I was reading it, it made me, well, because it's also confusing, because the lineage of this path, you know, was instigated with Lahiri Mahashaya's incarnation, and by the time Yogananda comes to America in 1920, where are the people who called, and are they Americans? You know, the linear brain just sort of tries to figure out what all that means. Is the call from the astral world? Is it souls promising disciples wanting to meet? Is it this great river of consciousness that we're all in tune with? You know, you can't sort of line it all up. When you think also that it's countries and temperaments of countries and so on are vibrations that are held in the cosmos, so that from the astral world, when souls are ready to incarnate, they can go into the vibrations that they need. And America is a certain vibration. And those who either come to live here or incarnate here or born here or this is their destiny, We're in that vibration, and that vibration is what we want. And America is the Dwapara Yuga country with its sense of equality and its sense of religious freedom and its serviceful attitude toward the world and just the many fine qualities that Americans have, some of which are still in the ascendant and some of which are being suppressed by other forces right now. But nonetheless, there it is. And how that idealism that characterized America, as Swami writes it, began to be confused by excessive materialism and the lack of devotion in science that gradually has begun to eat away at the idealism and the spontaneous spirituality of this country. But underneath that, just as Jesus came to the Essenes, even though the Sadducees and the Pharisees were the ones in power, but it was the power of the truth of the Essenes that caused Jesus to incarnate, that gave him the place in which that whole river of consciousness could be carried on. There is something that is American, that we were born to be part of because it matched us, that called this line of masters to California. It's a very specific. It's so enormous, and then it's so exact, and called us to be with Swamiji, called us to build Ananda, to take what Master brought in 1920 and then through Swamiji to practically apply it to all these enormous areas of life, all for this great river of consciousness that was trying to change this particular planet, which is just a planet, from Kali Yuga into Dwapara, so that it would provide the right atmosphere for the real drama, which is individual souls get to become closer to God. And in the process of our participating in all of this, reading Autobiography of a Yogi, or meeting Swami Kriyananda, or hearing about the community of Ananda, everybody has a story. And it's so extraordinary because every single person in here had a moment when all of a sudden this became real. And whether we jumped on it immediately or spent years sort of circling around or moving in and out, there was a moment when this became real. And then all of a sudden, inexorably, you know, this force We got in tune with that force. And however we thought about that, that's what was happening to us. It just made more and more sense. And whereas we would try to pull in an opposite direction, we were just in that river. We were in that river of consciousness. We were in tune with that now. And this is who we had to be. And all of it comes from this, from Master incarnating, from him being who he was. He was called a Prem Avatar. I believe Rajasi called him a Prem Avatar. Swami said he felt, not that he wasn't, but he felt that Master's incarnation was joy. Bliss Avatar is how Swami called him. So let's call him Blissful Love. You know, that is like such an appealing image for all of us at this time in this place, isn't it? Just we're trying so hard to find our hearts. We're trying so hard to find our joy. I mean, this is what we as a country, we as devotees, we as Ananda devotees, this is what Swamiji brought to us. If you would think through just what the experience of Ananda was, Swami would read us P.G. Woodhouse stories. He would gather us all together Christmas Eve. There's pictures of him in the old Kamandome temple, the old Kamandome at the meditation retreat. The building's gone. Of course, the building's gone now. And him just sort of sitting up on what was actually the serving counter of the dining room with a P.G. Woodhouse book open in his hand. And he would read these stories. And he would read them so well, this British humor and these exaggerated characters, and he would have all the dialects. And then, you know, he'd read, and then at a certain point, often, the sheer ridiculousness of it was just overcome him. And he just wouldn't be able to read anymore, and he would just laugh and laugh, and the whole room would just laugh with him. And it was like, it was so free, and it was just so outside any possibility that I imagined for adult life. I don't know how else to put it. But it was just so much of what he was. And many times, you know, we would just be gathered and he'd say, what if I read you a P.G. Woodhouse story? Like, sir, you're supposed to be like the direct disciple of a great avatar. Like, what are we doing? But it was an incarnation of bliss. It was an incarnation of childlike freedom. And that's what Master came to give. The stories that Swami himself tells about Master, you know, pulling out little toys and trying to get Swami to... So Swami himself was, you know, here I am to find God. I love the story where Swami tells it, where Master shoots the little gun and this little, you know, creature goes up like a parachute, a little soldier in a parachute, and then the parachute comes down. And Swami describes how he stood with Master solemnly watching it descend. You know, how do you like it? Master said to him, to Swami. And Swami said, it's very good, sir. You know, he just didn't know what to say. And Master said, suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. You know, that's also what it means to be on this path, you know. Not all paths are like that. Some are solemn, but ours is not. Ours is from the heart, and ours is filled with joy. And that is like, how do I say that? That's part of what it means to be in tune with this path, is that we get to love each other. We don't have to just stand back and be austere yogis who never relate, which is a valid path. It's just not what he brought to us in America. He brought us community. He brought us love of nature. He brought us humor. He brought us laughter. He brought us each other. And all of that is what it means to be in tune. I remember once when this man who moved to Ananda, who had sort of a fanatical nature, and he had been in our community, and then he moved to Ananda Village, and he was telling me how he fasted every 3 days, and he was doing this, and he was doing that, like this. And I said, why don't you kind of just go with the program here, you know? Why don't you just try to find out what's happening here and see if you can get in tune with it? instead of coming in and imposing your ideas on it. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Attunement is not as complicated as we think it is. Attunement is trying to understand, who are these masters? Who was Swamiji? You know, I just published, you all know, this 2.5-pound book. You know, I said if Swami had lived 5 more years, we would have had to sell it with the Sherpa to carry it with you, you know, if I'd had to write 5 more years of his life. I mean, it's a lot, and it barely touches the surface, and it was a concerted, devoted effort on my part to try to tell you what he was really like as far as I knew him. Because he was the disciple, and that's who we are. You see, here's Master whom almost none of us actually saw. We know him in our hearts, but we never saw him. He didn't read us P.G. Woodhouse stories. He didn't tell us funny jokes. Swami said he told lots of funny jokes. Master loved to laugh. He loved jokes. He was very humorous. He was very lighthearted. He was very natural. He cooked for people. He just lived in a very easy, joyous, loving way. He made a house car, Master did. He made a motorhome long before anybody even thought of one. He had his disciple Durga make what he called a house car for him so they could drive around and go camping. And then they would camp in some place and they would cook outside, and Master would sleep in the house car and the men would sleep under the truck. I mean, it was just like they had so much fun. You think of all those things, and they weren't solemnly suffering out there. They were enjoying themselves completely, but enjoying themselves with God. That's the great secret of it, you see. We're not enjoying ourselves because we're whipping up all this enthusiasm. We're enjoying ourselves because we're already enjoying ourselves. Swami said, people would say, Master loved this, Master loved mangoes, Master loved curry. Swami said, Master loved. Put a mango in front of him and he loved the mango. You know, he loved first, and then he was able to give that love. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to love first. Master was a Prem avatar. We need to feel how devotedly. And see, we go back to the Festival of Light. Greater can no love be than this, from a life of infinite joy and freedom in God, willingly to embrace limitation, pain, and death for the salvation of others. Such ever has been the sacrifice of the great masters for the world. Greater can no love be than this. So we sit and we look at these beautiful pictures and we read his wonderful words and we hear his voice and we sing his chants. Greater can no love be than this, that the only thing that mattered to him was our freedom and whatever it took. You know, just, and it seems so remarkable to us, but think how many of us just effortlessly do what we can for our friends. Oh, I was going to stay home and have a quiet morning, but you need to move. Oh, your car is broken and you called me and I have to drive an hour and a half to pick you up. Oh, you have an early ride to the airport. Oh, I'll happily take you. Now, the masters live at a much higher level, but it's just what we already know, which is the joy of loving, the bliss of giving. And as we grow and find the joy of loving and the bliss of giving, we realize we can do more. I was talking to someone about, well, it doesn't matter, but I was saying, this man came to me at one point and his wife was pregnant with their second child. And it was a very touching interview. He said, I'm afraid, he said. I can't imagine loving anyone more than I love my daughter. He said, I don't know, what will I do when there's another child? And I said to him, don't worry. And after his son was born, he came and said, you were right. Because we think we've reached the limit. And then we discover, oh, there's no limit here. We think that I can't sacrifice that far, and then for some reason we have to, and we discover how big we are. And all the masters do is they just show it that it's literally infinite. And when we watch Swamiji, his devotion to master, his determination to serve, his capacity to be a channel, you would just think, you know, how many more absolutely the best song ever can he write? You know, how many more of the most astonishing book ever can he write? And then he would just do another one and another one. How many hilarious P.G. Woodhouse stories could he read? How many clever witticisms could he say? How many fantastic talks could he give? And then there was another one. Because we have perfect free will to attune ourselves to this great river of consciousness, and then like a leaf, we'll just be carried. And if we're still clinging to the bank like this, or holding on to some rock that we've bumped into, or grabbing at a branch, well, pretty soon the water will take us and we'll let go. And how we know it's going to be okay is because of what we already know of this. So this is the fulfillment. And wow, isn't it great? You know, this is the fulfillment. This life, love and bliss. We get to love each other and we get to have the joy of it. And we get to have the incredible sacrifice of giving up every other limited thing that we thought was so important until God ripped it out of our hands and said, actually, I have something so much better for you. Have you ever seen how children are when, you know, you're trying to... I remember I was in this educational toy store and this mother had come in and she knew the educational toy her child wanted, but he, of course, had a different idea. And he picked up his own concept like this, and he's clutching it really tightly. I don't know, three he was. He was just under the age of reason, holding it on like this. She had hers. She wanted him to let go of his so that she could buy the one she wanted for him. And so she started trying to coax him, you know, to change over. And I'm an observer. He was reaching for this. He was beginning to let go like that. Then she got a little impatient and she reached over and tried to take it, at which point, whoomp, like that, you know, and the whole thing ended really badly like that. But that's what happens. God tempts us and tempts us, gives us experiences, shows us what we can really be, tells us what our potential really is. And just when we're about to reach for it, he tries to take something else away from us so we can be big enough to have it. It's like the tide coming in. We go up all the way and then we retreat a little. But this tells us who we really are and where we're really going. Bliss and love. That's our destiny. That's our definition. And that's the grace of God in our lives. Bless you.
So silently and sweetly the Master comes to me. His love and joy enfold me in bliss and ecstasy. My mind is calm and peaceful, all cares are swept away, and in his omnipresence I know that I am free. My mind is calm and peaceful, all cares are swept away, and in his omnipresence I know that I am free. So sweet the sound of old. Master's voice I hear in all pervading silence. He whispers, I am here. My heart with joy is flowing, it sings eternally. There is no other love like the Master's love for me. My heart with joy is flowing, it sings eternally. And sweetly the Master comes to me. His true love and joy enfold me in bliss and ecstasy. My mind is calm and peaceful, all cares are swept away. In his omnipresence, I know that I am free. My mind is calm and peaceful, all cares are swept away. Omnipresence, I know that I am free. So sweet the sound of Om, 'tis Master's voice I hear in all pervading silence. He whispers, I am here. My heart with joy is flowing, it sings eternally. There is no other love like the Master's love for me. My heart with joy is flowing, it sings eternally. There is no other love like the Master's love for me. There is no other love like the Master's love for me.
Love is all I know, sun rays on the snow of a winter long, in darkness without song. Oh, my heart's a fire, burning all desire, only you remain and life again. Too long I did stray, flung lifetimes away. Imagine you did not care. I know now your smile was mine all the while. Listened
and love was there. I can't breathe for love, all the stars above call to me, come home. Life's waves all end in foam. Only love can heal all the pain I feel. What a fool was I to turn away.
We'll sing together, O Master, and have a closing prayer. Please place a candle on Swami's altar as well as Master's. And then many people like to stay quiet out here for a long time. So please maintain the meditation spirit for as long as it's obvious that people would like to stay that way.
Joy fill our days. O Master, may thy wisdom guide our ways. The time has come for us to see that there's but one reality upon the earth and high above. The truth that all was made from love. A love that calls to us to fly above the hills, above the sky, above the storms, above the pain. A land where peace and laughter reign. May thy joy fill our days. O Master, may thy wisdom guide our ways. Guide all our hopes and all our dreams, past every glow that only seems, into the light, the inner sun, into the truth that we're all one. Help us to find in every hour, in every thought, in every flower, a joy that spans eternity. The truth that makes us ever free. O Master, may thy joy fill our days. O Master, may thy wisdom guide our ways. May thy joy fill our days. O Master, may thy wisdom guide our ways.
Oh. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Beloved Master, Paramhansa Yogananda, Saints of all religions, Divine Friend, Swami Kriyananda, we offer our hearts and lives in humble service and devotion at thy holy feet. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion. And may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Om peace. Amen.